An Osho Talk. Zen, the Diamond Thunderbolt, number 12.
Once, Hakugan said to Yakuzan, who was reading a scripture, "You should stop fooling people." As he rolled up the text, Yakuzan asked, "What time of day is it?" Hakugan replied, "Just noon." Yakuzan then said, "There is still this pattern." Hakugan responded, "I don't even have nothing." To which Yakuzan said, "You are too brilliant." Hakugan commented, "I am just thus. What about you?" Yakuzan said, "I limp along, ungainly in 100 ways, clumsy in 1,000. Still, I go on this way." On another occasion, Yakuzan asked a monk, "Where have you come from?" "From the southern lake," replied the monk. "Has the lake overflowed its banks?" asked Yakuzan. "Not yet," answered the monk. Then Yakuzan said, "So much rain, and the lake not yet full?" But the monk was silent.
These small anecdotes are the most precious treasure no other language, no other religion has reached to this subtle understanding that a small story, utterly naked, undecorated, becomes a pointer to the ultimate truth. Zen anecdotes are not something to read. As far as reading is concerned, they are worthless. They are something to be lived. That is the only way to understand them. Intellect is absolutely not needed. What is needed is innocence. What is needed is not knowledge, but a humbleness. A humbleness that knows that I know nothing. Out of this understanding that I know nothing, these small dialogues amongst Zen masters become tremendously meaningful. But you have to listen not with your ears but with your heart. Not with your mind but with your silent being. Something very important is being imparted. Be attentive. Once Hakugan said to Yaku-san, who was reading a scripture, "You should stop fooling people." There is nothing more courageous than Zen. There have been Zen masters who have burnt holy scriptures. There have been Zen monks who have burnt even Gautam Buddha's wooden statues because the night was too cold. Hakugan is saying to Yaku-san, "You should stop fooling people. All your so-called knowledgeable intellectuals, pundits, rabbis, all are fooling the people. Because to let them get involved into scriptures is to take them away from themselves. You are not to find yourself in the scripture. You have to come inwards, leaving all scriptures, philosophies, religions, outside, howsoever true they appear to be, howsoever rational, reasonable is their logic. Logic cannot quench your thirst. And the source of love is not the same source. Logic arises out of your mind. Love arises out of your heart. But the love that arises out of heart is just like puna air. Polluted, utterly polluted. It is the world's fourth city which is the most polluted. Minds, love is just a word. The heart's love has a little life, but very crippled. Fortunately, you don't end at the heart. The road goes a little more deeper. There is another kind of love. Just to make the distinction, we will call it compassion. A love without the desire to possess. A love without the desire to power. A love that wants simply to share its bliss its grace, its joy, and ask nothing in return. You can understand these anecdotes only out of your love. So while I'm reading, listen to the very center of your being. And I have been teaching you nothing else but getting into the center. From now onwards, I would like you, even while I'm reading, you have to be not just a listener, but also a meditator. In absolute silence, these flowers of eternity bloom. Yaku-san was puzzled because the scriptures were holy scriptures. And Hakugan, who himself is known to be a great master, is saying to stop befooling people, throw away these scriptures, all your knowledge reduced to reality is nothing, because you don't know on your own, you are simply living on a borrowed theology, philosophy, religion. You can talk like a Buddha. You can quote exactly every word of the Buddha. But if you are not a Buddha yourself, you are befooling people. It reminds me of the last day of Gautama Buddha's life on this earth. It was a full moon night. It is a strange coincidence. He was born on a full moon night. He became enlightened on a full moon night. He died on a full moon night. What a beautiful, symmetrical, harmonious life, where end and beginning and the middle are all same. He died, but he has thousands of disciples, and the problem was that he has left nothing in writing. What about the coming centuries? People will never know this great height that Gautama Buddha touched, this depth of consciousness that he reached. For the coming centuries, every word that he has uttered in 42 years has to be recorded. But it was a problem. 42 years he has been speaking. Only one man was continuously present, who was Ananda. Others sometimes were with him, sometimes they had gone to preach. Sometimes they will stay with Buddha, particularly in rainy season when moving around was difficult. But most of the time, except Ananda, nobody has remained with Gautama Buddha. But the trouble was, and his memory was unbelievable. But the trouble was that he was not enlightened himself. Three 300 disciples who were enlightened gathered together in an assembly hall. But everybody said, few things I have heard, but I cannot say about his whole teaching. I have never been with him all the time he was teaching. These 300 people were enlightened. They said, we can say what is our experience, but if you want what were Gautama Buddha's words, you will have to let in Ananda, who is sitting outside the hall on the steps. He has not been allowed in because he is not yet enlightened. And Ananda himself was not ready to say a single word unless he becomes enlightened, because he don't want to defile or misinterpret. After all, he is full of human frailties. So just you will have to wait. I will do my best. I could have become enlightened before you, because I came in the very early days. But unfortunately, I took Gautama Buddha for granted. Another misfortune was that I was a cousin brother, elder to him. So I never, deep down, felt I touched his feet, but I knew that I am his elder brother. I listened to him, but I knew that in ordinary life, you would have to listen to me. I am elder to you. 42 years passed, and I was constantly, day in, day out with him, and I missed him. I remember every word that he has uttered, because I knew nobody is around constantly with him. One day, this task is going to be filled. I have to write down, but now I have only tears. You will have to wait. The 300 enlightened ones waited for 24 hours. And Ananda sat on the steps of the assembly hall with tears. He forgot to eat, he forgot to drink, he forgot the whole world. And 42 years continuous in this insistence of being in. For the first time he tried, he has heard it and heard it and heard it so much that it has become almost a common place. He knew that he is going to say, "Go in." But now he is not there, and he has to go in, otherwise his whole teaching will be lost. He is the only container. And within 24 hours he became enlightened. A tremendously concentrated effort. He sat down on the steps with the determination that either I become enlightened or you will have to burn my corpse. I am not going to move from here. With such totality and intensity, one cannot avoid being enlightened. And as he became enlightened, the tears changed their quality. His whole being became radiant. And the 300 enlightened disciples started dancing. They opened the door and received Ananda. They said, "Without you, the world would never know what kind of a man Gautam Buddha was." It is because of this, all the scriptures are memories of Ananda. Every Buddhist scripture begins, "I have heard." Such a humble beginning, because Ananda cannot say anything more, because at the time he was not enlightened, he has only heard. Now he knows that what he has heard is right. But at the time it was heard, it was only heard. It was not experienced. You are here. I would not like you to be in the position of Ananda. I would like you to be in the position to say, "Yes, it is so." Not that you have heard, you have experienced. The scriptures are dead, and the scholars who devote their life in reading the scriptures and interpretations not only waste their own life, they befool millions of people. They go on teaching, not knowing what they are teaching all about. They are like blind people teaching about light. Blind people talking about the beauties of the full moon. Blind people talking about the roses and their colorfulness. And because everybody else is blind, Nobody prevents them. It is a rare occasion that fortunately an enlightened person, Hakugan, just passed by when Yaku-san was reading a scripture. Just passing by, he said, "You should stop fooling people." As he rolled up the text, Yaku-san asked, "What time of day is it?" Hakugan replied, and these are the subtleties, delicacies of the world of Zen. It was a test question. Yaku-san was a great scholar. He cannot leave Hakugan without checking whether he is enlightened himself or he is just humiliating me by saying that you should stop fooling people. He asked, "What time of day is it?" A simple question, you will think, but not a simple question, because those who know meditation, mind disappears, and with mind, time disappears. Time is a projection of mind. Without your mind, there is no time. There is eternity. There is only this moment, but you can't say what this moment is. If Hakugan was also only a scholar, he would have been caught in the question. But he was a master. He replied, "Just noon." This moment, it is just noon. Yaku-san then said, "There is still this pattern." He is referring to the pattern of past, present, future. He is saying to Hakugan that your saying just noon implies that there has been a morning and there will be an evening. Still the time is there. That's why he says there is still this pattern, this division, morning, noon, evening, afternoon, night, day. Your mind is full of divisions. When there is no mind, there is no division. Hakugan replied, "I don't even have anything. I don't even have nothing to which Yaku-san said, you are too brilliant. In any other context, it may seem that Yaku-san has appreciated by saying you are too brilliant, but that is not appreciation in Zen. That is a very sophisticated condemnation. That you are still a great intellectual. Don't pretend to be a master. Hakugan commented, I'm just this. I'm just thus. What about you? He did not contradict him. On the contrary, he simply accepted that this is my reality. I am just this, an ignorant man. I do not claim to be enlightened. I don't claim anything. I don't know even nothing. What about you? Yaku-san said, I limp along, ungainly in 100 ways, clumsy in 1,000, still I go on this way. He is not ready to drop his scriptures. He is not an egoist. He accepts that I limp along, ungainly in 100 ways, clumsy in 1,000, still I go on this way. On another occasion, Yaku-san asked a monk, where have you come from? From the southern lake, replied the monk. Has the lake overflowed its banks? Asked Yaku-san, not yet. Answered the monk. Then Yaku-san said, so much rain, and the lake not yet full? But the monk was silent. What he can say? It is true, so much rain, but the river is not overflowing. These are symbolic statements. The master sours more than you can ever contain. But you are not even full. What to say about overflowing? To be a disciple is a great opportunity to receive the rain that is severing continuously from the Master's grace and experience. Unless you also start becoming an overflowing river, you have not done the homework. You have wasted your time. You have wasted a valuable opportunity. Yaku-san is right when he says so much rain and the lake not yet full. The poor monk has no answer. But even in his silence, there is great gratitude. There are dialogues of Socrates, Plato, Aristotle. In modern times, Martin Buber revived the whole philosophy of Socrates. The central point being the dialogue. But neither Martin Buber was aware, who could have been aware because he was alive just few years before. His dialogue remained the same as 25 centuries back, like Socrates. This is a different kind of dialogue. No apparent reason, but inside there is so much insight. A poet has written, mindless clouds leave mountain caves, water fills holes and flows over. And another poem runs, clouds, no-minded, go out of mountain caves, birds, tired of flying, want to return home. These are statements about you. Tired birds. Longing to return home. Clouds without any mind enter into the mountain caves just for a rest. They don't have a guide, they don't have a timetable, they don't have a map. Wanderers in the sky of freedom, a man of Zen is just like a cloud, just like a bird, with a tremendous desire to reach the ultimate home. Manisha has asked, so much rain and the lake is not yet full. What do? That we continuously leak and so lose all that we are given. Manisa. It is not a question of anything leaking out of you. It is really you are all great lakes, and you are ready and receptive . It will take a little time for you to be full. So much rain is not enough for you. Your consciousness is such a vast lake that even so much rain disappears into it. So don't be sad. Rejoice the rain, and the more you rejoice, the more it will come. The more you rejoice, more the clouds feel welcome. Dance in the rain. And the time will come, there is no need of any hurry, when you will be full. Not only full, but overflowing. All that you need is waiting. A silent waiting. Not even worrying about whether your lake will ever be filled. I say unto you, it has always been filled if a person has waited long enough. And the time of waiting depends on your intensity. If the intensity is too much, it can overflow this very moment. If the intensity is not so great, just lukewarm, just hoping that someday, perhaps in some life, you will also become a Buddha. And your priests have been befooling you, because they have been telling you that Buddhahood is not easy. It is not a matter that you can become a Buddha right now. It will take time. It takes lives to mature. In fact, out of this, the whole idea of reincarnation arose. Because in the West, nobody was thinking about enlightenment. This life was enough. To have a house, a car, a garden, children, good position. What more do you want? Good, respected, honored life? One life is enough. In fact, it is more than enough. In fact, after the age 35, if you are intelligent enough, you start getting bored. Up to 35, you are childish. You can have romances. And if you are from California, by chance, even up to the age of 70, people are having romance, falling in love, and falling out of love. This strange phenomena happens only in California. Falling in happens everywhere, falling out only in California. California has a special quality to its climate. But anybody who falls in is bound to fall out. California or no California. Here, every day I see one day I am introduced that this is somebody's girlfriend, another day girlfriends have changed. The same boyfriends are here, the same girlfriends are here, but why not exchange? Look, Sardar Gurdayal Singh never laughs without a very great reason. He is getting old, but he is still romantic. I don't go out of my room, but I always inquire what Sardar Gurdayal Singh is doing. And I am always informed that he has changed the girlfriend. It is perfectly right to have new experiences, to have new territories, to explore. But if you are intelligent, soon you become tired. It is the same geography. A little bit cotton wool here, a little bit cotton wool there. And you have been so stupid pinching cotton wool. Sooner or later, one matures. And if you cannot mature here, you cannot mature anywhere else. Because so much opportunity in the world is not allowed. I am condemned for this opportunity. Once you are bored with the world, the time has come to wake. The world is your sleep. It is your interest in the worldly things that keeps you away from your lake being filled with Buddhahood. Now look at Avirbhava, who is sitting just here by. Few days before, she had dropped the idea of shopping. She is the great shopper. Just within 2-3 weeks, a great urge arises to go shopping to Singapore, to Bangkok, to London, anywhere, you just tell. And Avirbhava is really ready to go. But I hope she is getting mature and will drop all this nonsense, because what that shopping is, collecting junk. I know that everybody of you are collecting junk. I am continuously forced to receive your junk. So I know what you are collecting. Without entering into your rooms, I know what you are collecting, because you will not give me anything that is not great in your estimation. Then I go on giving that junk to others. What else to do? Because one needs some space to sleep, to sit. Now look, Avirbhava's urge is starting, thinking of Bangkok. This Bangkok is a very dangerous place. And you can get any kind of junk at the throwaway price. And Avirbhava grabs everything. Whatever she can grab, she grabs, and I am the victim finally. I have never sobbed in my life. I had no chance, no time, no space. But so many people are sobbing for me. Even the Goan sending by post all the junk that this thing is valuable. But I hope that even Avirbhava will get out of this. Just if the urge arises, go to your batik. That batik is just for this urge. It is not a shopping center. It is just to help you get rid of your shopping desire. just wait a little and Manisha, you all are going to become as enlightened as anyone has ever been. Because in one small life, people could not conceive that they may be able to find time for meditation. Because the wrong idea about meditation has been preached, that you have to take a certain time every day, repeat certain mantras, and then by the grace of God, not by your efforts, if He is kind, you may become self-realized. But for this, one small life is not enough. So people go in the temple and you can see, quickly they come out. In my village, just in front of my house, was a beautiful sweet sow. The man was a little deaf. And I used to enjoy his deafness. Because you had to shout in his ear, then only he will hear. So I will go and shout in his ear, "Uncle, aunt is calling you inside." And the both were the only people in the whole house, and it was a long house. And he knew that to trust me is not right. Because if he goes in, I'm going to take few suits without reason. But he was afraid of aunt also. She was a dangerous woman. If she is calling, you have to come. I will say go, otherwise you will be in trouble. Just for few sweets, you cannot trust me. I will take care of your staff. You go in. And as he will go in, I will close the door. Enjoy whatever I wanted. And he is knocking from inside. Open the door. Except that shopping, I have never done any. But he loved me because I opened the door and I told him that don't be worried, no customer has come. I have been sitting here just watching that no dog or no animal enters in the shop, and he will say, "You are a very good boy." The last time I went to the village, he has become very old. He is dead now. I went in and he said to me that your aunt is dead. I said, that is a great loss to me. He said, what do you mean? I said, now I don't live here. Otherwise, it was a great loss. The old man have always been understanding, but he thought, how much sweet I will eat. And when the wife will say, again, you have come in? He said, but you have called. She said, this is too much. I have told you that if I want, I will come. Don't listen to anybody. It must be that boy. I said, no, that the old woman is dead. I cannot even tell you, uncle, the aunt is calling inside. He had tears in his eyes and he said, I have never told you, but I knew that you were stealing. And I have never accepted the idea that my wife is calling me because she knows I am there. But just to give a chance to you, I used to go in. I said, you knew? He said, you were deceiving every day. And every day the same thing, the aunt is calling. And finally, once or twice, I was rebuffed by my wife, I will not go in. I will just stand behind the door, but let him do whatever he wants, how much harm he can do. And then I will knock on the door. Do you think I was unaware of the fact? I also knew that you used to take some sweet in your pockets. I used to have many pockets in my childhood. They were needed. But since then, I remember the old man, but other than his sorrow, I have not entered into anybody's sorrow. Just became unfortunately enlightened. Mad Melvin and his friend Fruitcake are sitting around the madhouse canteen eating peanut butter and ketchup sandwiches. Suddenly Mad Melvin leans over and whispers, I'm going to escape. Really? How? Asked fruitcake. I am going to run through the keyhole. Replies Melvin enthusiastically. A few minutes later, Melvin returns rubbing a big black and blue bump on his forehead. What happened? Asked Fruitcake. The guards were ready for me, says Melvin. They left the key in the lock. In the White House kitchen, Chef Egg Breath and his assistant Beaver are frying some onions. With tears from the vapors streaming down their faces, Egg Breath says, you know, God gave us this vegetable to make us cry. I guess so. Beaver says, wiping his eyes. Just then, President Ronald walks by the kitchen wearing only his underwear and a hat. And you know, continues the chef, pointing at the president, God gave us that vegetable to make us laugh. It is early morning at the Funnydale Mental Institute. And Nurse Brass Boobs is inspecting the ward to see that everyone is properly dressed. But when she comes to George, she notices that he has his right shoe on his left foot and his left shoe on his right foot. Come on, George. She says sweetly, you have got your shoes on the wrong feet, dear. Half an hour later, she comes back and sees that George still has the same problem. George, dear, she says, why have not you put your shoes on the right feet? But I have tried, cries George. I have looked everywhere. But I just can't find my other feet. The new priest, Father Finger, is so nervous at his first mass that he can hardly speak. Before his second appearance in the pulpit, he asked the more experienced Father Fungus how he can relax. It is easy, says Fungus. Next time just pour a little vodka in your water pitcher. After a few sips, everything should go smoothly. The following Sunday, Father Finger pours a whole bottle of vodka into his water pitcher and proceeds to drink and preach up a storm. He feels great. However, returning to his room, he finds a note from Father Fungus. One, next time, sip, don't gulp. Two, There are 10 commandments, not 12. 3. There are 12 apostles, not 10. 4. We do not refer to the cross as the big T. 5. The recommended grace before meals is not rub-a-dub-dub. Thanks for the grub. Yahoo! 6. Do not refer to the Last Supper as good eats with Jesse and the boys. 7. David slew Goliath. He did not kick the shit out of him. 8. The Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are not referred to as Big Daddy, Junior, and the Spook. 9. You should always say the Virgin Mary, not Mary with the cherry. 10. Though the Pope is Pollock, we do not refer to him as Pope the Pollock or as the Pollock Poop. 11. And last but not least, next week there is a taffy pulling contest at St. Peter's, not a Peter pulling contest at St. Taffy's. Now this is good time to do Nibedana. Feel the body absolutely frozen. No movement. Just remain centered in. This centering makes you a Buddha. This centering is the very womb of all the Buddhas. Deeper and deeper and deeper. Just like an arrow, a lightning thunderbolt which pierces to the very core of your being, and you will know. The space, the sky, the infinite eternity of your being. To be a Buddha is just to be a fully grown lotus. A lotus of consciousness. This is a great moment. Nivedana, relax, let go. Just be dead, but keep holding to the center. This center is your eternity. It knows no death. It knows only a blissful dance that goes on and on. The whole surrounding is celebrating you. This is the most precious gift that existence can give to you. Nivedana, come back. Sit for a few moments, rejoicing your experience, collecting the memory so that it can become a flame burning 24 hours. In the darkest period of your life, even in death, you will find it a flame dancing for the Buddha. There is no death. There is only life and life and eternal dance. Can we celebrate 7,000 Buddhas together?